I first of all want to begin this sermon by thanking Brother Al, who's up in the balcony, for taking the pictures, and John for helping us to sort the pictures that are on the front of your bulletin. Take a look at that bulletin. And notice, you'll notice on the back that our own people, members, friends, have written the meditations for us to take home and read as kind of a way to carry the message outside of this building as well. But take a look at the picture. What do you see? Anybody want to offer a comment or two? What do you see?
Happiness.
Happiness? What else?
Warmth.
Gratefulness.
Mother and child.
Mother and child. Now, look at the eyes of the mother. The smile on her face. Now what do you see?
Love.
This is the season of love. It is that season that unwraps the package of who God is and will be and always will be to us as human beings. Advent and Christmas is all about recharging the batteries of our faith. Now, I'm a fisherman and I own a boat and I have several batteries. And what I've discovered, especially a season like this year when I got very little time in the water, those batteries run down. I have to hook up a charger, and it begins to recharge and bring the batteries back to life. The purpose of Advent for the church is to recharge our spiritual and faith batteries for a new church year. It's the beginning of the church year. Advent as a season offers us in this divine human child a love that will never let us go, a love that will take charge of that which has been created and breathes the fresh air into our Christian commitment to follow the one born in Bethlehem. Now, a lot of people like angels. Some have them on their lapels. Some have them in their home standing on a shelf. Peg has a marvelous collection of angels. It's my job to get them out and put them out and have them on display. They're all very unique. They're dynamic. And they always are very colorful. And most always, they have a smile of grace and love etched onto their faces. But the angels of the Christmas story are much more than personal guardians or beautiful displays of celestial grandeur. In the birth narratives that are recorded in Matthew and Luke, and we've heard a portion of that this morning, angels appear 7 times, each playing an important role in the evolving faith and understanding about the birth of Jesus. We will notice toward the conclusion that angels kind of disappear. Now, in the back of the bulletin, Jeff found a text where angels are mentioned, but the personal presence and activities of angels are gone. Why? I hope the journey with the angels here this morning will lead us to know the answer to that question. So let's begin with the first appearance. It's to Zechariah in the inner sanctum of the temple. It's the first part of Luke. I encourage you this afternoon to read it. Next Sunday, I'm going to spend more time with Zechariah and Elizabeth. Kind of forgotten characters of the Christmas story. We kind of read over them. We forget the role they had to play. Zechariah has gone into the Holy of Holies. He was chosen by lot, and this was a privilege. They had so many priests that they had to figure out ways to give them the privilege of going in and sharing prayers and incense and praise and adoration for God. And then they came out and they were to give a blessing to all of the gathered people. Well, it didn't take long for most of the priests to go in. They did their praying and they came out quickly. They offered the blessing. The people were on their way. But this time, Zechariah did not come out. He did not come out. And people started looking at each other, wondering what in the world was going on. And when he finally appeared, he was ashen. His eyes were big and his mouth was quiet. He passed among the people and left, carrying in his heart and his mind this puzzling experience. For an angel had appeared on the right side of the altar. And the scripture says that Zechariah was terrified, but maybe terrified more by the news that was offered to him, because Zechariah and Elizabeth had been without child for many, many years. They had prayed to have children, for in their culture, having a child meant a way to pass on their heritage, but also someone to care for them in their later years. It was a disgrace and embarrassment among the people to not have a child. But now the angel, first of all, said, "Zechariah, don't you be afraid, for your prayer has been answered." Have you ever thought about what you're going to pray? Because God answers prayer. "For you will have a son who will turn the hearts of parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteousness." Now, it's a little hard to tell from the reading of the scripture, but remember Abram, who became Abraham, when he was told that Elizabeth, who was almost 100, was going to have a child? I can almost imagine Zechariah, even though he was a man of faith, kind of chuckled to himself. Old folks having a baby, changing diapers, being up all hours of the night, chasing a kid down the room as they got older. Is that real? Is that going to happen to us? And so he laid that question out flatly before the angel, and the angel promised that it was so. But there was a consequence in his disbelief. He could not share the blessing. He could not share the good news until the baby was born, and he named the baby John. Did you ever have a moment when you were told something that was true, but circumstances led you to believe it just could not be so? The angel was bringing to Zechariah good news. The angel was the messenger from God, but also one who, on behalf of God, could withhold a part of the blessing until faith was restored. Now, the next appearance of the angel is to Mary. Actually, it is the same angel, Gabriel. Gabriel's name only appears a couple times in Scripture, who appeared to Zechariah. Mary, too, is afraid. You know how it is when you're standing and looking at something, concentrating on something, and someone comes up beside you, and you jerk and say, "You scared me." I can imagine that was a bit of the experience. She was a person of faith, but she was not expecting the messenger to be there. So she was afraid. And as true with angels in the narrative, the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for I bring you good news. You have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus." But in her mind, her heart, she's thinking, "I'm not married. How can this be true?" Mary didn't sarcastically have disbelief. She was experiencing confusion. And the angel said to this devout woman. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and fill you, and Jesus will be most holy. For this is of God, and nothing is impossible with God. It is when the unbelievable becomes believable. The message of God brings honor upon Mary by inviting her to serve God with her whole life and being. I wonder, if we were in Mary's shoes, would we have said yes? Fortunately, Mary's faith trusted this holy presence and said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord." She did not have to understand every element of what it meant to be faithful and a servant of the Lord. She was going to walk in faith into the unknown experience that was being set before her. The opportunity of working with this God who can do the impossible. A God filling her with promise, with hope, and love. The next two appearances I want to say very little about because on the 23rd of December, I hope you'll be present. Joseph is going to visit us here and tell us his own story. But the messenger in this case appeared to the one who was engaged in a dream. Do we have enough faith in ourselves that God can speak to us through our dreams? Joseph in Matthew's gospel is a respectable man of faith. He knows God and is committed to serving God. In the first appearance, he is pondering what should he do. In the time and the culture he was living in, to have a child born out of wedlock was a sin. It was seen as worthy of death if they could prove it. He wanted to honor her. He wanted to respect her. He loved her. But the confusion that came with the story she told and what it meant to her filled the air. Imagine the electricity in the air when she said, "Joseph, I'm with child." And if you'd have been the one engaged to her, what would you have thought? How could this be so? How could a child be within you unless you've been unfaithful to me? But the angel brought assurance to Joseph, invited him in the dream to not be afraid. It's going to be okay. Take her as your wife, because she has become a favored one with God. Now there's another time that Joseph is dreaming. It's an anxious dream. The baby has been born, but the rumors are there that the evil tyrant Herod is obsessed with finding this young competing king and destroying him. Joseph, before falling asleep, must have known the dangers that were at hand. Likely, the dream of anxiety was allowing him to be restless. You know how it is when you're anxious? Restless and not sleeping well? The next dream, the angel says, "Do not be afraid, for you are charged with the responsibility. You are encouraged to take your child and your wife and flee. Immigrants on the run." Think about the faith and courage it took to undertake this 106-mile trip on foot by donkey to seek asylum in Egypt. Now, I'm putting it off again because you can only do so much in a sermon. But in 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about the shepherds. For the angels in our scripture this morning appeared to the shepherds. Now, what we need to know about the shepherds, and I'll tell you more about how I discovered the truth and the reality in 2 weeks. But these are not people of strong faith. They are the downcasts of society. What I wonder about, was it curiosity? Was it fear? Or was it the budding of a non-existent faith within them that led them to seek out and discover the good news in human flesh? Again, the messenger was of God, inviting these non-believers, the equivalent of street people of today, ones who had little in material resources, little idea about God and what God could do, to enter a journey of faith. But they had faith, enough to go and see. Now for the last appearance, it was to astrologers, scientists following a star never seen before. We don't know much about these three kings. They are of several cultures who had traveled from afar to pay homage to this new king. Now they stopped to talk with the king, Herod, to see what he had to say. And of course he played up to their interests and said, well, yes, I've heard rumors about it. Go see where this king might be and come back and tell me, for I'd like to go and pay homage to him as well. Now, we don't know whether these astrologers were men of faith or was it their scientific curiosity that led them to follow the star over the manger. However, when they saw the baby and his mother and father, they knew there was something special about this child. The love that filled the room, the love that was more than just the love of person to person. And so they knelt down before the divine human child and offered gifts. Then they went away. We don't know where they went. The scriptures don't tell us much about them, but they went for a night's rest. And in their dreaming, God spoke to them, warned them of impending danger. And the scriptures identify that they left for their own country by another road. So I ask you, can you hear love? Can you hear curiosity? Can you hear budding and growing and developing faith in this great story? Something that's important in the season? Are you allowing the batteries of your life to be hooked up to the charger, the God, the messenger who's bringing good news among us? So finally, why did the angels disappear? Fred Craddock, a teacher of preachers, in a sermon by Tracy Hubbard, suggests, but faith is usually one angel short, left to ponder the silence of things we are living through in our hearts. Back to the picture on the bulletin. The little one becomes two or three and runs into the room and throws him or herself into our arms and says, I love you, Daddy. I love you, Papa. I love you, Mama. I love you, Mimi. And the God of innocence in them meets us as God's love in human flesh, dwelling among us full of grace and truth. And we are not so alone to ponder the difficult, the strange, the unanswered questions of our life journey. For God, the God of love, made known to us in Bethlehem in Jesus the Christ, is with us. Amen.